Hello, Texans. Day two of legal tampering free agency as the league year starts tomorrow. That would be Wednesday at 3 Central. Mark Vandermeer and John Harris with you live and live at the Sports Radio 610 studio. So that means we have producer Chris Santiago across the glass. I guess that means we're on Twitch and YouTube as well. So if you want to break your computer screen or your phone screen, you can tune into YouTube and Twitch and see Johnny and I, especially me, often heard and not seen, maybe better off heard and not seen. Hey, 1 week from today, by the way, we will be at Momentum BMW with Andy Kalou, live, in person, in the flesh. Speaking of breaking your computer screen, but you'll see us live, so I don't know how you're going to feel about that. But we'll be there, Momentum BMW, 1 week from today, and there's all sorts of prizes. We're giving away tickets. We're doing all sorts of giveaways. I'll share more later in the week, but that's going to be awesome. At Momentum BMW Southwest Freeway, Andy Kalou is with us, and we're going to have a big party because the league year will be well underway by then. But today, how do you feel today, folks? What a difference a day makes in your feelings. See, feelings sometimes shouldn't come into play, but they do because I get it. Everybody's passionate, excited. You know, we want people to be excited. We've had so much football euphoria in the last calendar year, in the last 12 months. Yeah, I mean, it's been incredible. From the hiring of D'Amico, and I don't have to recap everything. You know what happened. Draft and outstanding season, NFL honors, all of it. So when day one, when the next big benchmark event occurs, day one of legal tampering, it's, wait a minute, you didn't get Barkley, and you signed Lonnie again.
that was pretty much in lunchtime cooler talk at that point.
And nothing against Lonnie. I think Lonnie can help the team. You know, we'll see how that goes. But the thing is, you know, you want all these big headlines, and people are on the air, on social media, and you want meat. You need meat. Yep. And you didn't get the protein until the day started to unfold. All right. As we are on the air yesterday, Azeez Alshire gets signed or agrees to terms with the Houston Texans. More stuff happens overnight. And then about a half hour ago or so, Danielle Hunter, Houston Texan. What? All right. This is getting good, Johnny. Welcome. How you doing?
I don't know if you have Nick's number, but we need to text him and say thanks, man. Because they dropped the Azeez Alshire news like right at the end of our first segment.
Yes.
30 minutes before we go on tonight, Danielle Hunter is added. And if you've seen my tweet, which hopefully you have, in the last 48 hours, Nick and D'Amico have added to this defense. D'Amico Autry, Azeez Alshire, Danielle Hunter, the top defensive end free agent on the board. Jeff Okuda, who, by the way, I watched Okuda today. So I was trying to remember our game. I didn't watch our game. I watched the Tampa Bay game. And I was like, there's possibilities here. Now, he gave up a couple of completions. And this is what pisses me off about PFF. I go check PFF grades just because I'm curious. He had his lowest grade in that game. I'm like, are y'all looking at the same thing I am? Yeah, he got beat and he had one holding penalty and that was it. I'm like, either way. So, and Okuda was 1 year, can max out at $6 million. And then Foley Fatukasi got added just right before Monday, I believe it was. That's what they've added to this defense. Now, they've lost John Gernard. They've lost Blake Cashman. We don't know about Sheldon Rankins yet, but they lost those two players. And
Steven Nelson.
And, well, we don't know about Steven either.
Right, we don't know.
They haven't decided on a place yet.
He's still out there, right?
He's still out there.
They're not done.
No.
Because corner is something they're going to look at more deeply.
Well, again, I told you this the other day. It's been the M.O. Well, in San Francisco was. It was the M.O. You bolster the defensive line, which, by the way, the Colts bolstered defensive line as well with another freakazoid in the middle, Raekwon Davis. So now they go 6'7", 6'7", and then Grover Stewart, who they re-signed. That's their interior.
They're paying a lot on that line.
Well, that's Ballard's way.
DeForest Buckner is not cheap.
Yeah, exactly. That's Ballard's way. So it was always kind of the M.O. in San Francisco. No, you build through the defensive line. Defensive line, none of their corners were drafted before the third round. Maybe we're the opposite because this is a draft where the more now I look at this, you bring in Danielle Hunter and D'Amico Autry with Will Anderson. We heard about Dylan Horton. I don't know what that all means for Dylan as far as his football career goes. Just want him to get healthy and get back to football and playing because I think that's part of the health recovery is getting back doing what you know to do. What you're comfortable, what you love doing is football. So you've added Danielle Hunter and Nico Autry to Will Anderson. I don't know if that takes defensive end out of the draft mix, but maybe it does. Defensive tackle, you've added Fatu Kasi. You don't know about Sheldon Rankins. And you've already got Malik Collins here already. So defensive line has been bolstered. Corner might be one that they look at, especially because this is a really good corner draft. And where they're sitting at 23 mark, there's going to be a corner push to them at 23. And maybe that's where they go to get another, you know, to get Stingley on the opposite side with him or Okuda or whatever, how they look at it. But what they're doing is they're setting themselves up for draft night to do a whole, have a whole lot of fun, have a whole lot of fun. And by the way, people notice when I was at the combine, I met Tron Davenport, who's the ESPN, who is the DJ Bienemy basically in Tennessee. In ESPN, right. He tweeted twice. It's his first tweet, 26 minutes ago. Wow, Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry, Azeez Al-Shaair, among others for the Texans. They're definitely rising up. They're doing it right by taking advantage of C.J. Stroud's rookie quarterback deal and using the money to build up their roster around him. Second tweet's a minute ago. Facing Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter in Houston. Now, just that alone. Think about that. Teams are going to have to face Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter.
And Will in year two, who's going to get better.
And Danico Autry. He didn't put him in there. Yeah. Facing Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter in Houston, Josh Allen in Jacksonville, presumably. DeForest Buckner, when he lines up at defensive end in Indy, elevates the value of offensive tackles for the Titans. Titans need to find a way to get at least two good ones via the draft and free agency. Well,
let me ask you this.
You're putting pressure on every team in the AFC South right now. This Danielle Hunter move does that to the 10th degree.
Have they improved on that side of the ball? When you look at it like that.
A defense?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, the answer is yes.
Yes.
Undoubtedly, yes. We'll get to the offense in a moment because obviously something big happened today there. But when I look at year two, healthy Will Anderson, and look, health always plays a part in this. And by the way, along those lines, that's why I say they're not done because you need more bodies. You got to get deeper. You got to get deeper all over the place. We saw how that went last year with all teams.
Yep.
So we'll get to that. But just talking about the meat of it, speaking of meat, the meat of it, when you look at Will Anderson year two, JG had a great year last year.
Sure did.
He was banged up a bunch, but he played through it a lot of the time and had a great year, 12 and a half sacks. We all know that. This is Danielle Hunter we're talking about. And then we're talking about, look, Derek Barnett, maybe he ends up on the team again. I don't know. But instead of Derek Barnett being that guy coming off the pine or subbing it, whatever the rotation is, Danico Autry?
Yeah.
And then you move him inside on pass rush downs. Yeah. You have Hunter and Autry and Will and Malik going after the quarterback or however they want to configure it. That is strong up front. Linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair. Nice. They're going to add more linebackers, but Christian Harris, the way he came along, who knows what happens with Henry Toa this year? Does he make that big jump year one to year two with D'Amico and the coaching situation that they have? And then in the secondary, they're clearly not done, but they're still – that's why you have to let this thing play out. You got to give it a couple of weeks to see what you really have before you can start making that depth chart really detailed and look at how deep it is because you know you're going to need that depth.
Well, Titus Howard already tweeted as well. He said, our D-line is crazy with five Ys. So, crazy.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, I mean, you start thinking about training camp and the one-on-ones. Laramie's going to go against Danielle Hunter and Will, you know, every day. Titus, presumably moving out to right tackle, is going to do the same.
I might even watch those. You know how I never watch those?
Yeah, I
never watch those.
I'm sent down there to do that.
It's just a
work.
Notch
I'm
above.
I'm fine with it.
It's a notch above special teams practice for me, but I'm going to watch it now. I'm going to watch the one-on-ones now.
I mean, you said have the Texans gotten better, and if you just look at, say, just go, okay, Danielle Hunter and John Grenard's basically a trade. If you want to look at it that way. Okay, but they also added Danico Autry on top of that.
Yeah.
Then you look at, okay, between Blake Cashman and Azeez. Let's just say it's a straight up, just even trade. Okay, I mean, if that's what you get. Now, Al-Shire's been healthy. And I mean, and that's been a big thing. You know, Blake had ups and downs with that. And we all knew that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. And then in the secondary, you bring in Okuda. So if it's Okuda for Nelson, you're trading younger for more experience. And obviously Nelson was really, really good.
He was. And that's
really good.
That's low risk, high reward to me.
That's absolutely what that is.
You're not paying a lot, and he might turn into who he was hoping to turn into when he was picked in the first place. But again, they're not done there. They're not done. And they've got a lot of safeties. You pointed this out either last night or one of your tweets or whatever. You know, Eric Murray back. I know no one's going to throw a parade for Eric Murray back. But that's the kind of depth you're looking for. Eric Murray would have played a bunch last year had he been able to stay healthy, right? He can sub in for you. He can play in a pinch and be productive. He's been around. And I'm not going to headline this show with that. But, again, depth. All right, so that's the defense.
That's the defense.
And we're here in the Sports Radio 610 studio live, so we can take calls, 713-572-4610. I don't even have to look at the number because that number is in my DNA. I've been saying that number since 2002. And, you know, I started here by myself, 9 to 11, with Chris Jones on the other side of the glass, new in the market, doing shows. I should have called you. I used to hear you with the other guys, and I'd be like, he sounds pretty good. 713-572-4610. You got a question about the free agency, concern, comment, whatever. All right. So let's look at the offense. Today, the Joe Mixon news drops. And the Joe Mixon news is that it's a trade because of the salary situation and a bonus coming up next week and all of that. But let's spare me those details for now. This is a very affordable deal for the Houston Texans.
Yes.
Highly affordable deal. A lot less than Barkley would have cost you. I'm not saying he's Barkley. But here's what Joe Mixon does for you. And I haven't listened to anybody all day about Mixon because I tuned in late. I had other things going on today with the budgets and things. But let me put it to you this way. Mixon caught the ball. What did he have? 52 catches last year. He had a 1,000-yard season as a running back. Yep. He had 52 catches. Mm-hmm. The Texans have not had anybody catch the ball that much out of the backfield since Arian Foster. Not saying he's Arian. I'm just saying this. He is a receiving threat in addition to being a running threat. He was seventh among backs in the league in all-purpose yards. This guy is going to be a really key element to this offense. Bobby Slowick working him in. I'm not saying he's McCaffrey either, but think McCaffrey. Think that kind of role for Joe Mixon.
Yep.
In situations, all right? Again, I'm not saying he's McCaffrey, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run with the football. The Texans running backs who catch the ball really well and were highly productive in that area. Arian Foster, Dominic Davis, going back to the early days, now known as Dominic Williams, and Steve Slayton in 2008. He didn't even have 52 catches. I thought surely Slayton had 52 catches. No, he had 50. But he led the AFC in yards from scrimmage that year.
Slayton did. Yep.
So it's basically all purpose. So let me put it to you this way again. That's another point to make. Slayton was a third round draft choice and went crazy leading the AFC in yards from scrimmage. There's an element to the draft in all of this player acquisition stuff that you have to focus in on. I know we can't focus fully on that until we get to late April, but that's going to be huge for this team in addition to everything they're doing in this first few days of free agency and whatever comes after that in the second wave. But the draft is going to be huge. Look at what they did last year. Third round pick, Tank Dell. Now you're looking at him like, oh my gosh, he Nico. They added Noah Brown again, add him to the mix. Johnny, talk to me about Joe Mixon, what he does for this football team.
Well, I put on the 49ers game that they won out in San Francisco. I think it was the week before they played us. I think. It was around that time for him. And they handed him the ball. The very first time they handed the ball, it's like a nice little tackle trap play they're running. Really, really cool concept. And I always think of Joe Mixon a little bit like Le'Veon Bell. He's kind of got that patience thing, and all of a sudden he sees it, and then boom. He took this handoff and took off like a shot, and I thought, whoa, that is some serious juice. So, yeah, he's got some of that. Catch the ball in the backfield. I don't think they're done at the running back position. I do think the draft is going to have one of the answers. And the draft, at this point, they have seven or eight picks. I can't remember. They gave one of them the seventh rounder, I think, for Joe. Again, to my point yesterday, it's like there are a lot of ways to do this thing, a ton. At the beginning of training camp, did anybody out there know who George Fant was?
No, of course. I mean, you knew who George Fant was, but you didn't really know George Fant.
And George Fant stepped in at right tackle and was fantastic.
Yes.
I think you paid him $1 million. My point being, there's so many different ways with waiver claims, with trades, with draft picks, with undrafted signees. There's so many different ways to do this, man. But I just love the fact that this D-line is stout and people are taking notice. Holy cow, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry with Khalil Davis, Heinisch, and Malik Collins, and now Fatu Kasi. Come on now, let's go. People are taking notice of what's happening nationally, locally. I mean, it's kind of nice for it to happen that way. But It was just my point, and I said this to Clint because I know Clint was mad at me about this. I understand the running backs were going off the board. They were going off the board quickly. I get that.
And why was he mad at you?
Well, because I was being too laissez-faire about it. Oh. And I get it, but that's my way of looking at it because I've seen this team built a lot of years in a lot of different ways. Who's the best running back that this organization's ever had?
Undrafted free agent.
Undrafted free agent. So, look, can you repeat that? Probably not. But maybe a third-round pick you put on a running back this year. You never know. Maybe you draft Jonathan Brooks. He's not ready to go because of the torn ACL at the beginning of the year. But by midway through the year, that hoss is ready to go, and he jumps in with Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, boy, what do we got here? So, it's day one. Now it's day two. And this is the other side of it. I'm not putting up banners.
No.
I'm not putting up banners. I've seen way too many good defenses get us to 9-7 and not get us beyond a divisional playoff round. I'm not putting up banners either.
No.
But I do like what's going on, especially
like
with
the acquisitions. Yep. You like the acquisitions, right. And you like to see them get a little bit of time here. 713-572-4610. All right, let's do it. Troy, you are on first tonight on Texans All Access. What's up, Troy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, man. I'm like you. Free agency. And you got to also remember you're going to have cuts coming in training camp. You don't know who's going to get cut off of different teams that you're going to be able to sign before the season. I think the Texans did very well. DeMeco Ryans is a defensive coach. He seemed like he got defensive players that he liked. It was a concern with the running back. If you could get Saquon Barkley, great. But it's not like Saquon Barkley is just, wow, you can't get Saquon Barkley. I don't know. It's not like he's that great of a running back. Good running back. Health was an issue with him. I like the Mixon pick. I think they may get somebody in draft, but at the same time, you don't know who else is going to get cut before the season that they may pick up as a backup running back or anything like that. I like to see them get an offensive weapon to help C.J. Stroud, but I think there are going to be a lot of players for the Texans to get. You got Steven Nelson. Are you going to sign him? You got Gilmore out there as a cornerback. You got a lot of guys that's out there available, and a lot of defensive players still left. So I think the Texans are just taking their time. I think they did the right thing, not just let's just splurge the money. Let's get the players that we can get in here that fit our system. And what I do like is they just not falling victim, listen to the fans. Oh, y'all just messing up. Y'all should have done this. They have a plan. It seems like DeMeco and them are doing what they want to do. Man. Yeah. So I trust DeMeco and I trust Nick Cassera to put this team together. That's all I got to say. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, Troy. Thanks for listening.
Appreciate you,
Troy. Bob McNair.
Rack him.
Bob McNair. Yeah. Let's just duplicate that call over and over. We're just going to run it on a loop for the rest of the program here. Bob McNair had a saying, if you listen to the fans too much, you're going to be sitting with them. And I thought that was kind of funny.
That's a great sound. Never heard that.
I mean, he loved the fans.
That's excellent.
He loved the support, loved the fans. But we talked about it last night. They have to do what they do. Let Nick cook. Right. I wrote about it today on HoustonTexans.com. I had a story. I entitled it Free Agency Wellness Check. I wanted a wellness check on all the fans.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Are you okay? Can you hang in there a little bit here? Can I get you some water? Because we've got a ways to go here, and you got to give it a minute. Let's go to Chris here on Texans Radio, 713-572-4610. Good evening, Chris.
Hey, y'all. I've been such a fan since I was born, which is 2002. But the thing is that I just want to ask you, in this upcoming draft, seems that the center back position is kind of one of those needs that we need. But how about O-line? I know protecting C.J. Stroud and our new running back Joe Mixon is important, but do you think O-line could be a more prioritized position than a center back at this moment?
All right, thanks for asking, Chris. Just hang up and listen, please. Thank you. I haven't taken calls on the air in a long time, I got to tell you. It's fun. I love talking to the people. All right, so O-line, here's the deal. And Johnny and I talked about this on Texans Radio previously. We were looking at it thinking, you know what? The O-line solutions are probably in the building. When you think about who's getting healthy, Titus Howard coming back, I'm not saying they're not going to add to this, but Juice never got to play enough early, right? He was hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt up until the Jacksonville game.
Right. So
second Jacksonville
Juice
game.
Is supposed to be the center, I thought, and we'll see how they do with that. Dieter's gone for the moment, And you have Patterson healing up. He played center to start out and was doing a pretty good job. You know, Kenyon Green, we all know he missed the season.
Kendrick Green looked pretty good in limited action. You might have options there
right.
that a lot of people aren't thinking about, aren't focusing on at guard. So let's just see what happens there. They might add to that. And remember, you pointed out, they picked up George Fant at the start of training camp. Yeah. So there might be other options as well. But I think they've got it in the build. They got a lot of money on the O-line as well. Draft capital investment and financial investment with Titus and Laramie.
I do not think the Texans will draft an offensive lineman in the first round. I don't think they'll draft one day one or day two.
I doubt they.
Yeah. I doubt it. Yeah. I doubt it. But I'm going to make sure I say this clearly. If they did decide to draft an offensive lineman, mm-hmm. it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me because this offensive line, especially the tackle position, is just outrageously good. It's really good. But I don't anticipate them doing it. Could they look at in day three, you know, at a guy that's got some guard tackle versatility? Could they do something like that? Could they look at really a you know on day or early on day three, one of those fourth round picks, look at a guy the offensive line that's fallen, maybe a center. This is a really good center group too. What it's not is not a good, great guard group. But maybe they look at it and say, hey, maybe Juice can stay at guard. I don't know. Maybe we'll draft the center. Maybe we'll draft
the
bowl limit.
What about Patterson as a center?
I'm just saying.
That'd be wild if it worked out that way.
There's going to come a point where we look at all these positions and go, well, where are you going to take a draft pick and put him? Trust me, we'll find a spot. There's 17 games in a season. There are a lot of times where you're going to need a rookie when you didn't think you were going to.
Who would have predicted that you'd beat the living daylights out of Pittsburgh with Kendrick Green playing guard?
Yes, not to mention who was playing left tackle that day, Jerron Christian and Austin Deculus. So, yeah, I mean, you can't
Wait,
have...
Deculus started at left
Deculus
tackle.
Deculus started
at left tackle, and you beat the snot out of Pittsburgh.
And how many Weird sacks stuff. Did they have that day against us?
Zero.
Zero.
T.J. Watt did nothing.
Zero.
That's now, wild.
You talk about panic. The panic was at an all-time level in that game, and then no sacks.
Was he having a Big Brother moment? Like, I'm not as good as Big Brother. I'm not doing anything in this building. It didn't motivate him. It demotivated. I don't know. I don't know what happened that day other than the Texans looked really good. All right, let's go to Lamont because Lamont is somebody I haven't talked to for a long time. What's going on, Lamont?
Hey, what's the deal, Johnny and Mark, man?
What's up, Lamont?
Nothing much, man. Say, man, Nick Caserio is the god. And you know what really makes me, what really chaps my hide right now is that we're talking about a dude that has showed in the Super Bowl 8 or 9 times and won 6. And we are down here doubting him. Okay, I'm not going to put words in Nick Caserio's mouth because this is a happy day right now. I think he knows what he's doing. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I think that Nick Caserio knows what he's doing. Man, I don't know if Nick Caserio looked over there to the U of H Cougs and said that, you know, defense is fun and I'm just going to have fun with defense, but he's going to make defense. The way that they constructing this team right now, defense is going to almost look as fun as offense to me right now, man. I'm so happy right now. I know it's a lot of tweets being deleted right now because a lot of people was crying and upset yesterday. I wasn't. I didn't got to the point now, man. I'm a grandfather. So I just, you know, sit back and laugh and I just have fun and realize I'm not up there in the mahogany desk making those decisions. Those are those guys that's doing that. Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans. And I just have fun and enjoy it. But what I do know is Nick Caserio is not a fool. Nick Caserio is not a fool. I didn't have my doubts. You know, I didn't have some wiggles about him. But I'm smart enough to realize, man, this dude come from a winning organization, and he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Say, fellas, man, it was a good it was a damn good day today, man. A real good day. And like I said, it's going to be a whole bunch of tweets deleted. A whole bunch of people going to be crab walking and backpedaling and doing a whole bunch of stupid stuff. And that's all I have, fellas.
All right. Lamont's a grandfather. Many blessings, Lamont. All right, so Rack Lamont. We'll play that one on a loop, too. We're going to play these calls on a loop. All right, we'll get to everybody else. I promise this is a short break. We take short breaks here because we know you want to hear more about what is happening, legal tampering. Danielle Hunter, a Houston Texan. Let's dig in deeper. It's Texans Radio.
Mark Vandermeer and John Harris with you. Big day for the Texans. Legal tampering, reported signings or agreeing to terms. Because they're really not supposed to sign the deal. They're not allowed to sign the deal. Mm-hmm. I guess they DocuSign now. They must. Before, they'd have to fly them in to have them physical. Literally sign the deal. Oh, but physical. You're right. They got to do that. But Joe Mixon is a trade. And Danielle Hunter from the Vikings is a signing. Mm-hmm. And it's really good. That defense really shaping up. Ooh. And running back, we talked about it 24 hours ago. Hey, this is a concern. You got to get a running back. You got to get started here in the running back acquisition train. And they did.
I know we got to get the calls, and we'll do that in a second. But something to consider. Danielle Hunter wore number 99 in Minnesota.
Oh, man.
I mean, he can't.
If there was a receiver with 80, I just don't think Andre Johnson's giving that up.
Nah.
What? I don't think he's giving it up either.
I don't think
we'll
so
see.
Either.
And but I don't know. I don't know. I can't speak for him.
We'll need to have a discussion.
No, they're going to have coming. Another number. Wait, what was 90? A couple of guys had 90 last year because we had a camp 90. And then we had, I can't remember.
I
90
can't.
Looks pretty good, though.
90's good.
90's nice. Mario, Clowney, Danielle Hunter.
Danielle Hunter wore
nice.
94 in college, if I remember correctly. That's Khalil Davis.
Yeah, Davis might move off 94. I don't know. I like having Davis back.
He just made $50 million.
Let's get to Gerard on the line here, 713-572-4610. Gerard, what is up?
Hey, how's it going, Mark and Johnny?
Doing great. Well, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm very excited about what the Texans are doing, man. When you look at last year, the AFC Championship game, you had Kansas City and Baltimore. You had, the number one and number two defenses in the NFL. Yep. And that's what the Texans are trying to do. They're trying to get better on that side of the ball. And I think the moves that they made over the last 2 days are a big step forward in being on the level of those two teams. Those are the two teams that you're going to probably have to get by again this year. So I like the moves with Hunter. Again, this guy's been doing it for a long time, man. I remember him when he was in Minnesota when Zimmerman was the head coach. He was putting up big numbers then. So he's a guy that's been doing it for a while but still young. So I think he's an improvement over Grenard because he's done it for multiple years. The linebacker we got from Tennessee, I think he's better than Cashman's, a more explosive player in middle linebacker. Cashman might be a little bit better in pass coverage, but overall I think we upgraded that in the middle linebacker position. And I like the acquisition of Joe Mixon. Now, if you just would have put Joe Mixon in this free agent running back class from this past season, I probably would have put him as maybe number three behind Henry and Josh Jacobs. I think he's better than Saquon Barkley. You look at their stats over the last several years, he's put up better stats because he's been more available than Saquon Barkley, who I look at a little bit like a Barry Sanders, a guy that, he makes those big plays, 80-yard runs, but in between those big plays, he's taking negative yards, -2 yard, -3 yard, because he's always looking for the home run. He's that classic home run or strikeout type of running back. So I think Joe Mixon is more consistent, a dual threat, and I just like the moves that the Texans are making. Hopefully, this is a move I'm thinking they maybe can bring in, maybe people ain't talking about, bringing in Tyron Smith from the Cowboys. If you can get him for a reasonable price, you bring him to the Texans and put him right tackle. You got Tunzel on left tackle. You move Titus Howard in the guard. And you have your center position with Shrugs. And then you have Patterson right there. And then you have a great offensive line.
They need a swing, don't they, Johnny? They need a swing?
I do need a swing tackle. I mean, we haven't heard about Charlie Heck or George Fant yet. I'd imagine they'll look at those two guys because obviously they have history with those two.
Right.
So they'll look there, man.
Yep.
Tyron Smith.
I think that's an embarrassment of riches right there if you go for him. But you never know.
Yeah.
By the way, Gerard, thanks for the call. And, yeah, you're right. Baltimore, Kansas City, 1-2 in the league in points per game allowed defensively. So good point that, hey, we talk about their offenses all the time. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. They had the top two defenses in the league. And look who the Texans are playing next year. They're playing the Ravens at home, the Chiefs on the road. Look at the schedule. Aaron Rodgers, possibly, I guess.
I don't know.
You look at some of the other quarterbacks
he
they're
might be
facing.
A vice president.
Tua's coming in. You have the Dolphins offense, Tyreek Hill, all of it. You've got to play great defense if you're going to do something here in 2024. And most importantly, you need to win your division. We all know that the division wins. We all felt that tiebreaker formula coming down the stretch, how important it was to have those division wins. So it is crucial to do that. Great stuff there. And as far as the Barkley-Mixon thing, look, Barkley's great. If he's healthy, he's great. We all know it.
Mixon, you pointed it out. He's been available. He's been mostly healthy. He's an over 1,000-yard rusher. He catches the ball a ton, more than any Texans back since Arian Foster. And I'm not saying he's going to do that in this offense, but I'd be surprised if they didn't utilize him more in the passing game than they did even with Motor last year. All right, let's get to John next here on Texans All Access. John, you are up. Good evening.
Good evening, fellas. Man, it's a really good day to be a Texans fan. I know everybody was freaking out yesterday. Like, anytime I looked at Bleacher Report, it was just all the whining and the negative stuff. It got so bad, I started posting that GIF on everybody's on everybody's comments, the Daddy Chill one, just to get everybody to calm down, because I know Nick Caserio freaking loves to go in on day two, man. Ah, I'm hyped.
Yeah, it's hard not to be. John, to be honest with you, I mean, when you look at, and I mean, I'm just, you know, kind of scrolling through Twitter, just making sure we don't miss anything because of the way things happened last night. We found out about Aziz last night at about 6:20, 6:25. So you just keep refreshing. And I've heard a lot of people tweet and text to me about that. And I just keep refreshing and like, yeah, what's going to be next? And I remember last year we got Dalton Schultz and Devin Singletary on the same day and thought, dang, wow.
That was a good day.
So I listen to the guys on 610 and I love all of them. I really do. You know, Clint was mad at me because I was trying to be too kind of laissez-faire and just, hey, relax. It's going to be okay. It'll get figured out. It's the way that D'Amico and Nick have thought this thing through. We'll figure it out. And they figured it out. And they figured it out today with the money they had. And everybody was like, you got money? Spend it. You got money? Spend it. Okay. They just did. They brought back a homeboy from out of Katy, Morton Ranch.
Yeah.
Coming here. One of, if not the most, I watched a game against the Bengals as soon as they signed him, or as soon as the news broke. And I was like, okay, if I get the Bengals game, I can watch a little of Joe Mixon too. And the Bengals didn't use Mixon in that game all that much, as much as they probably could have. Danielle Hunter is a spinning, chopping, ripping, relentless wizard. He is, I mean, he's got pass rush moves for days. His closing speed on a quarterback is insane. And now, if you're an offensive line and you're preparing for the Texans and you get in pass rush situations, what are you going to do when D'Amico Autry bumps inside and you have Will and Danielle Hunter on the outside?
Think about this. It's a problem.
It's a huge problem.
If you're an offensive coordinator, they got Will Anderson on the edge.
Huge problem.
They got Danielle Hunter. They got Autry coming off the pine or whatever they're doing with him. They've got guys. Malik is no slouch either, getting surge up the middle.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, come on.
I mean, oh, my gosh. I totally forgot about it. Oh, yeah.
Khalil Davis making plays. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We forgot about him. If you're an offensive coordinator, just start with the edge guys. You got to deal with them.
Yep.
You got to deal with them.
Yep.
So that's awesome. Cole, we'll get to you in a second here. One item on Barkley here, because I understand it. Hey, you want a shiny new toy?
Sure.
Saquon Barkley.
Sure.
I get it. But at what point were you – I don't get – at what point were you willing to go if you're a fan or a media member that's really – really bitter about losing Barkley? Are you bitter about losing Barkley because, darn it, didn't get Barkley, darn it? Or they got outbid? You were willing to go to $38 million for Barkley? You wanted to pay $40 million for Barkley? I don't get it. Where were you willing to go financially? Because that's what it was going to take to get Barkley.
Well,
so I don't get that. I understand being disappointed. Ah,
to me, this
shucks.
I'm
going to say something else. That you didn't get Barkley. I get that. But are you really upset that Nick didn't go to $40 million?
Well, talking to Nick Show, and I call him Show. Show and Clint afterwards, and I got the point that it wasn't, as Show said, he said, it wasn't so much about Barkley. It was just that the fact that the running backs were all right.
That's a fair point.
I get that.
We talked about that ourselves. Hey, they got a concern. They got to get a running back.
Right. They got to get a running back.
And you
got
to get several, actually. But you wanted to get a guy.
But they're gonna find a way to find something that works for this organization. That's the way they've done things, especially since D'Amico got here, and that's the way that it's happened. Now, here's the other thing with Barkley in particular. He's from Pennsylvania or New Jersey. He went to Penn State. He played in New York. He's got an opportunity to get more money than the Texans were offering at the time. And he also said he wanted a shot at the Giants twice a year. Yeah. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You can't compete with that. But you know what that did? That opened you up to go call Katy, Texas' own Danielle Hunter and say, hey, let's go. Now we're ready. Let's get this done. It's a nearly fully guaranteed deal. He's here for 2 years, and he's going to turn 30 in October. But He's played a lot of football, but he's played a lot of really good football. And I know what I watched in 2023. Dude's got plenty left. And
Didn't get 1,000 yards last year, got banged up, but that's okay. 3.9 per carry. Barkley's a good player.
Yeah, I'm not saying Barkley's not.
But he's not.
Listen, I would have liked Barkley too. I would have liked it if it happened.
I don't like him for $40 million, though.
I know. But I think sometimes what I hear from fans and from people, you know, they get really angsty about this. And then it's like, it's Nick's fault that free agent didn't sign here. And I'm like, whoa.
No,
He put up a good bid. A good bid. And you know what? I'm kind of glad it didn't go through, because if they would have put that money on Barkley, would they have been able to get Danielle Hunter as well?
I don't know.
And so
certainly not
getting Joe Mixon
million.
At his deal and Danielle Hunter, would I rather have that than just Barkley? Yeah. Okay. Mixon and Danielle Hunter?
If that is the trade-off, yeah. All right, let's get to Cole here.
They're going to fear this defense. Sorry, let's go.
Cole on Texans All Access, you're up. What's happening?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Excellent.
First off, I just want to say I love what Nick's doing and have done over the past 2 years. I never really understood why people were just throwing their arms up and getting mad over the first 6 hours after what we saw, especially last year on what he did with day two. But after this signing with our free agency class kind of shaping up, what do you see as the position of needs on the team right now? And do you see that coming through the free agency? Or do you see that coming in the draft as like a receiver like Brian Thomas or Keon Coleman in the first round?
Let's go position by position, because it's easier, because I'll leave a position out. Quarterback, no. Running back, I still think they'll look in the draft. I think they've got to find some young legs. I think they'll look in the draft.
They absolutely have to sign to
wide
field
receiver,
the team more running backs.
I wouldn't sign a free agent wide receiver. I wouldn't. This draft is loaded. Go get it. You brought back Noah Brown. You already got Tank and Nico. Robert Woods is still on the roster. You got Mechie and you got Xavier. Get one in the draft that you know has dynamic abilities, and maybe day one, day two at the wide receiver.
Offensive line, no.
Interior defensive line, maybe. Maybe in the draft.
Okay.
Defensive end, I think you're probably pretty good right now.
Yeah.
Linebacker, you might look to get some more depth.
Have to.
And I think the one I'm getting to is corner.
Yeah.
I think corner is one. Even with Okuda coming in, you still need you just need bodies.
Yeah.
So I do think, and the thing is with corner, I don't think corner free agency is really kind of the way to go. I think because this corner class is really, really good. To me right now, if you went wide receiver corner or corner wide receiver in the first two rounds, shut it down.
All right, if you started a game this weekend, what would it look like? We can get into that a little bit, and we got plenty of calls to take here. People who want to talk about what the Texans are doing, what they need, their thoughts on what they need. Nathaniel and crew, you guys are all up. We'll go rapid fire coming up here on Texans Radio. All right, Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. It is free agency frenzy. Texans getting Danielle Hunter to play the edge. Will Anderson opposite him. Joe Mixon earlier today. Numerous other players agreeing to terms. Official signings coming up. League year begins 3 Central tomorrow. And Johnny's reading me tweets during the break from people in Jacksonville and other AFC South markets who are freaking out over what the Texans are doing. And it's nice when your competition is not happy at all with the situation that the Texans are getting better. All right, I want to take these calls. We asked for calls. We're going to do it. We're going to do it rapid fire. Nathaniel, you are up. Good evening. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on? I just want to say, man, I love the move about Danielle Hunter, of course. You know, that's a great move. Great for our defense, for sure. But the offense, for sure, is going to be one thing I want to look at, because, like we said, you know, wide receiver is one thing, you know, we should look at. You know, running back is also in this draft class is stacked. You know, people like Blake Corum from Michigan, you know, I want to look at him as a Texan. And, of course, you know, even like a Donnie Mitchell from Texas, you know, maybe he will go sooner than what expected, but who knows what Nick's got cooking up for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think the more I think about it, the more I feel like wide receiver and corner are coming into view at 23. But I don't think we're picking at 23, by the way.
You think Nick's going to move?
Yeah,
one
way
or another, move down.
Yeah.
Let's go to Matt here. Matt had a question about a running back, and we've got the man to answer that question. Matt, what's up?
Yeah, thank you guys for getting me on, and it's a good thing you guys are starting to take calls. Y'all did this once last year, and I got on with Johnny, and we talked about the quarterback situation, and I was very adamant about getting CJ. And I'm glad that it all worked out and that the Panthers screwed it up for themselves, and we were the beneficiary. What I was going to say, it looks like they're spending most of the money on the defense. So that leaves for the draft, and I assume they're going to get a corner Xavion Howard would be, you know, a little bit of money, but probably not much. He might give us a discount. Get the corner locked up in free agency. And then you can target Brian Thomas Jr., possibly in the first round. And then there's a back that I hope you've looked at, Johnny, Trey Benson, Florida State. Ran a 4.39 at 215
He's my number one.
Pounds.
He's my number one.
Okay, mine as well, buddy.
Yep. Absolutely. Appreciate it. Thank you. John, great talking to you. Yeah, Trey Benson is my number one running back at footballtakeover.com. Go check it out. Harris 100 is posting this week. 100 through 76 are posting probably on Thursday. I wanted to get it beyond the free agency, so I'm posting it pieces. It has to be in pieces because it's a 150-page document on its own. So, yeah, Trey Benson is my number one out of Florida State.
When's he going? But it does. It depends, though.
The I mean, 59 would be the spot. I think 59 is – I think the second round is when you start getting the value in the running backs.
Can he catch?
Yeah, I think he can. Mm-hmm. He's got some explosive speed. I mean, he is really fun to watch. 6 foot, 215.
Okay.
Can move. I think he would fit the system really well. Had a terrible, terrible knee injury back at Oregon, and he left. Got his knee right, ended up at Florida State, became the bell cow. Trey Benson, Florida State. Jonathan Brooks is repairing an ACL. He would have been an RB1 for me, but that ACL, you just don't know. And then you've got the guys like Blake Corum, Will Shipley, that a lot of people will know just because they played at Michigan and Clemson. Those guys, I think, are really, really good backs. If you want to go later in the draft, I saw a guy at the Senior Bowl I really liked, Dylan Lobby from out of New Hampshire. Caught 12 balls for 295 against your Chips. Fire up Chips, couldn't cover him. 12 passes for 295.
Oh,
he was all over the place. This guy's he's a beast. So I think there are some running back options. Is what I'm saying.
You get to that level of football, sometimes you get a player that just destroys you. I remember when I was at UMass, I called a game against Villanova, mm-hmm. right? Finneran was on the team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Westbrook was on the team.
Oh, God.
Westbrook caught, I don't know, 20 passes. you just send him out.
Yeah.
I didn't even know if he was running patterns. Just go out for a pass. We'll find you. And the quarterback was pretty good. I forget who it was. He didn't play in the league or anything, but they just destroyed us. Oh. All right, let's get to Demetrius here on Texans Radio. What's up, Demetrius?
Hey, guys. I just want to say I'm excited about what Nick is doing over there, but I do have two questions for you, John. First question is, how do you feel about bringing Zach Cunningham back to shore up the linebacking core? And also, what I think we're going to get we're going to move up and get Quillen Mitchell for the cornerback in the draft. But how do you feel about A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy in the second round?
Sure.
All right, before you answer Cunningham.
Okay.
And thanks for the call. I would say never or no, but I never thought Lonnie would be back here either.
Right,
so
right.
You never – and look, I love – we love Lonnie. It's just Lonnie, you know, it didn't work out here. But maybe it works out this time. Let's see.
Yeah.
What did he tweet? He tweeted something to the effect
of... He said,
of,
hey, it worked for Akins. It worked for Dez.
Yeah.
I'm going to come in and be humble and paraphrase it and get it right the second time. So I'm like, all right,
it worked
good.
For Dez big, and Dez is back again. I love Dez.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Zach, but he was asking about the Texas receivers in the second round. I don't think you get him in the second round. I think they're both gone before you pick at 59. Now, could you trade up... As you have in previous drafts, you traded up to get Mechie, you traded up to get Nico. You've traded up to get receivers before. Could you trade up into that realm and get close? Yeah, but the problem is I think both of them are gone. I've got both of them. I think I have Worthy at 23 in my Harris 100. I think I have Mitchell at like 31 or 32.
Mm.
So it's going to be tough to get to those guys if you don't take them at 23. Now, if you trade down from 23 – down to 31, 32, or maybe even to the early second round, you could have a shot at getting one of them. But it's going to be tough to sit there, pick somebody at 23. Oh, he said Quinyon Mitchell too? Don't tempt me with a good time. You bring me Quinyon Mitchell from out of Toledo and put him opposite Sting at some point, those two with a CUDA?
What round?
Oh, Quinyon Mitchell goes top 15.
Oh, well, all right.
Well, wait. Depends on when the quarterback, running back, quarterback, wide receiver, offensive
somebody's
tackle run. There's going to be a run. And then all the defensive players are going to just keep falling. And I think that's where 23, that's where defensive players are falling into your
lap. Where Nick might want to move up to go grab him, and he's going to plant those seeds. But right now he's busy signing players.
Yep.
Alex, you are last but not least on Texans Radio tonight. What's up, Alex?
So basically, myself, I think that the beloved Houston Texans are making – going all beast mode, and I mean this recent signing, I think it's a great move by Nick, and I believe that trying to see about maybe bringing in a veteran corner, maybe like Gilmore, for the right price. And
I don't know what he's got left, Alex. We gotta run there, but I want to make a promo out of the Texans are going beast mode, because
yes.
He said it very calmly,
right?
And it's beast mode.
Right.
He didn't say the Texans are going beast mode.
Right.
But the way you said it calmly kind of got me fired up.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest here.
As far as a veteran corner, I said earlier, like free agency. I mean, I got a feeling, and this happens every year now.
Yeah.
You're getting the 30-year-old, 31-year-old, 32-year-old that kind of just waits through training camp and waits to see where there's going to end up being an injury or an opportunity. And then, boom, you marry them together and away you go. And we've seen that. We've seen that here. We've seen that happen here, especially last year. So, I don't know if I do Gilmore now. I don't know what the price tag would be, but I would imagine Nick probably knows him from his days in New England. So there's probably some familiarity there. So, yeah, really, really excellent show, man. You guys calling in, that was awesome.
That was awesome. You know what? We're going to take calls more often.
Yep.
That's it. I've decided we are going to take calls. This is a great time in the history of the franchise. Let's do it. 1 week from tonight, we're at Momentum BMW. That's Tuesday with Andy Kalu giving away Texans tickets. It's going to be great. Thanks so much for listening. Area 45 is next. Patrick and Sean swinging the microphones in the on-deck circle. They are next. Have a great evening. Go Texans.